So I wanted to talk today on the next sugya. Primarily, the Gemara here brings down drushas. There are a couple of very interesting pratim that come out of the sugya. First of all, the Gemara discusses the fact that the Mishnah says that korbanos yochid yachayev and achrayas, and korbanos tzibur the Mishnah paskin you're not chayev and achrayas. And the way the Gemara explains that is that if you didn't bring a korban tzibur, so that's it, it's over. You don't bring it anymore. Now, the achrayas is a strange term which definitely needs clarity, because achrayas is normally used, the concept of achrayas is normally used by something which conceptually you'd be able to do. For instance, somebody says, I raise the oiler, and then the oiler gets lost. The halacha is, he doesn't have to bring another oiler. Conceptually, if he says harezu, conceptually, it's possible for him to bring another oil. It's just he's not chayiv, he's not responsible to bring another korban oil. That's the way it works. By a korban sibur, the simple explanation why you don't bring a korban sibur if you miss the time is because the korban sibur is not in the parasha of being brought. It's not because you're not chayiv in achrayas. If somebody misses sitting in the sukkah or misses eating achilas matzah on Pesach, would you say he's not chayv and achrayas? That wouldn't be l'chayre, that wouldn't be the right way to describe his situation. He missed it. He missed the achilas matzah. Not that he's not responsible. He could go and eat matzah today if he wants all day. It's not going to do anything. The mitzvah was only the night of Pesach, and that day went by. So the fact that the Gemara uses the terminology by a korban Pesach that you're not chayiv and achrayas is a strange kind of way of describing a korban Pesach, any korban sibur. Because every korban sibur has a set time, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a korban sibur that has a set time. So once that time elapses, there's nothing to be brought because the time went by. You can't bring the korban, not because you're not chayiv and achrayas. That seems to be. So we'll get back to that in a moment, but the Gemara says over here that you're not chayiv and achrayas. The Gemara says, however, you're chayiv and achrayas of the nesachim. Meaning, if you didn't bring a korban today, the korban sibur, you're potter. But if you brought the korban sibur, you just didn't bring the nesachim, the things that go along that you pour on the mizbeach, the liquids, that you are chayiv and achrayas. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara goes through a whole shakl of ataria, that it's mashma, you don't bring the sachem balayla, you do bring the sachem balayla. The Gemara's conclusion is that it depends. Nesachem that come together with the korban, those nesachem can only be brought by day. The nesachem that don't come together with the korban, those can even be brought at night. That's what the Gemara says. But either way, you could bring the sachem after the time that you brought the korban. As long as you brought the korban bizman, you could bring the nesachem at a later time. My question is, this din that you could bring the nesachem at a later date, there are two ways to view that. One is we view it as a tashlumen. Really, the nesachem had to be brought the day of the korban. Happens to be, you didn't, so that is tashlumen. Somebody misses shachris, he'd have a mincha twice. He's not davening shachris. Shachris is gone. Can't daven shachris. He's getting now a second mincha to make up for the fact that he missed the shachris. Right? That's tashlumen. Okay? Then there's another form of tashlumen, which we've discussed by sfira. Somebody didn't count sfira at night. He counts it the next day as a tashlumen. That's not making up. That is actually accounting. It's on a lower level counting. Counting at night is one level. Counting by day is a lower level. That counting that you do by day on a lower level compensates for the fact that you didn't count the night before. But you're actually counting. And we went through this in great detail in different sugyas, even here in Tamura, because it makes a difference in halacha if you're potter. In other words, if you're potter from shachris, you don't daven two minchas. Because shachris is gone. The only reason to daven two minchas is to make up for the fact that I didn't daven shachris. But if I was potter from shachris, then I don't have to make that up. On the other hand, if I could still do the mitzvah to some level, of course I have to do it. So that's why, for instance, if somebody was an oinen at night, where he was potter from mitzvahs, right? He doesn't daven two shachris in the morning because Myrav is gone. On the other hand, if somebody was an oinin at night, right, he would count svira the next day. What's the difference? The difference is simple. Svira is not something new that you're doing to make up for an obligation that you had. It's a way of doing the obligation on a lower level. It's a lower level, but you're still doing the obligation. So there, of course, you do it. That's the reason why an oinin would have to count svira the next day, but he wouldn't have to daven the next day. And we discussed this l'gabi havdalah, the same halacha. Right? If you miss Matzah Shabbos, do you make havdalah during the week? It's the same shaila. If you learn that havdalah is a makeup, then you wouldn't do it. If you learn havdalah is an extension of your obligation on Matzah Shabbos, somebody was an oinin, it's negel halacha. Somebody's an oinin on Matzah Shabbos, he would make havdalah on Sunday after he's not an oinin. So now my question is, Nesachim, the fact that you could bring a carbon today and bring Nesachim tomorrow, the next day, the Gemara says over here. Yeah, but Lamaisa, most learn it's not even 10 days. Afilu achasar yomim is lav dafke, even more than that. 10 days is just a term used. It doesn't have to be 10 days. So the question is, what's the gather of that? So Rashi in our sugya says, if you look at Rashi, divrei hamaschil, minchosom v'niskeyem afilu balayla v'afilu l'mochor. You could bring it at night or the next day. Rashi says, im korav ha-korbon bizmana, if you brought the korban in its time, v'afilu mikan v'adasora yomim, you can then go bring it even for 10 days, ula oilom, yisi nechemya, and forever, not only 10 days, forever. U'beloy nizdam nu'loy komairi. We're talking about a case where you don't have the ability to bring the Nesachim on its time. Rashi is clearly saying, you're not allowed to do this l'chatchila. You're not allowed to l'chatchila bring a carbon today and bring the Nesachim tomorrow or a week or a month. So Rashi seems to be saying, it's a tashlumen. It's a makeup. It's not that I'm allowed to do it tomorrow because tomorrow is a day of Nesachim and the next day is a day of Nesachim. Really, Nesachim is a mitzvah of today. If I didn't do it today, that's the only way, that's how Rashi seems to say, the only way you could do it tomorrow is if you didn't have the ability to do it today. You can't l'chatchila. Now, the Gemara in Menachos says even l'chatchila. The Gemara says that the lashon that Nechemya brought down, mevi odom korbonoi hayoim, and he could bring niskoi afilu ad asara yamim. The Gemara there doesn't say b'di'evet. The Gemara doesn't say there, if you brought your carbon. The Gemara starts off with the words, mevi. Mevi Adam, a person could go bring his carbon today, and he could bring the Nesachim even later on. The question is, it's contradictory with Rashi. And obviously, Rashi must have a way around that Gemara. So the explanation that I would give to understand Rashi better would be that there's a Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, who also asks, what is the guideline of Nesachim after the carbon is brought, the next day, the day after the... So Tosfos says it's even l'chatchila. Not only b'di'evet, l'chatchila. You could bring a carbon today, bring Nesachim tomorrow. So Tosfos says, but l'maisa, it's definitely l'chatchila to bring it the day of the carbon, and he brings rias. Tosfos says that's only a carbon sibur. Carbon sibur, there is a mitzvah to bring it that very same day. By Korban Yochid, he says, not even l'chatchil. So it comes out, Korban Sibur has an extension, you could bring it later on, but the chiyuv is to bring it on the day itself. Korban Yochid, there you can even l'chatchil bring the Nesachim later on. Tosfos doesn't explain to us what is the difference. Why is it that by Tzibur, it's only b'di'evet? Now Rashi becomes clear by us. Because Rashi by us is talking about a Korban Sibur. And the sugi Menachos is talking about a yochid who bring maybe Adam. You bring a carbon. You could do it even l'chatchila. There's no contradiction. Rashi fits with the Gemara Menachos. But what remains unclear is why is there a difference between a carbon sibur and a carbon yochid as far as the l'chatchila? By both of them, you can bring a carbon today in a sachem in a week in a month. But for some reason, by tzibur it's b'di'evet, and by a yochid it's even l'chatchila. So I want to get back to this Achrayas thing, which I think will memelix. The Shita Mekubetzes in Erechin has a very interesting question. They used to say a Shira. When they brought the Nesachim, they said Shira. We talk about the Shira that the Levim used to say. So the Shita Mekubetzes has a Shaila. What Shira did they say? Here, Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Shita says as follows. Here, Ois Tes. The Shita has a Shaila. Do you say the Shira of the day of the Korban? So, in other words, you brought the Korban on Tuesday. Okay? And now you bring the Nesachim the following Thursday. What Shira do you say at the time of the Nesachim? Do you say the Shira of Tuesday, or do you say the Shira of Thursday? I'll read it for those of you. Gemara, Beis and Erechin, and he says like this: "Vehem amru Ashira." He says they say the Shira. He says, but I have a question. He says, Eze Shira Imrim, he says. What Shira do they say? Shir Shayem HaKorvas HaKorban? Or Shir Shel HaVas Nesachim? And he wants to bring a raya one way or the other, the day of the Korban, the day of the Nesachim. So, the obvious question is, why in the world would you say the Shira of the day that you brought the Korban? It's not the day of the Korban now. It's a new day today. It's a new day today. Why would you say the day of the Korban? You say, Hayoyim Yoyim. How does that work? So I think the explanation is very simple. There's a big difference between a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur. Korban Yochid, the reason why it associates to this specific day, let's say you brought the Korban on Tuesday, is not because there's anything about that Korban that has anything to do with Tuesday. It happens to be you brought your oil on Tuesday. Because you brought your oil on Tuesday, it's a Tuesday Korban. Okay? That's a Korban Yochid. But there's nothing about that Korban that's Tuesday, other than the fact that that's the way you brought it. And if you would have gotten delayed, and you would have landed here on Wednesday, it would have been a Wednesday Korban oil. V'chulu. Korban Tzibur is not that way. Korban Tzibur is Kavuas Man. Every Talmud had a day that you had to bring the Korban Talmud. Every Musaf had a time when it had to be brought. That Korban can only be connected to that day. There is no other way to learn. It has to be connected to that specific day. There's nothing to talk about. So, over there, the Shita Mekubetzes has a Shaila. When you bring in the Nesachim 3-4 days later, it's true you're able to bring the Nesachim later, as our Gemara teaches us. But perhaps it can only be associated to the obligation. And the obligation is a Tuesday Korban. See, even though you're bringing the Nesachim on Thursday, but Thursday is nothing more than an extension of Tuesday. Because this Korban has a Tuesday stamped on it. It's a Tuesday Korban. And therefore, even though you're bringing the Nesachim 2 days later, 3 days later, 4 days later, doesn't matter, it still connects to the Korban. And that's why the Shita Mekubetzes is a Shaila, that you would do something as strange as say the wrong Shira, say the Shira of the wrong day. You're saying Shira on Thursday for Tuesday. Because in a sense, the Korban Tzibur has to be connected to that day. It's a Tuesday Korban. I believe that explains the Shita of Rashi, of why Rashi says in our sugya b'loyim is daming. Because our sugya is talking about a Korban Tzibur. Korban Tzibur, the Nesachim belong to the Korban, which is a Tuesday Korban. So even though it's kosher later on, you're still bringing a Tuesday Korban on Thursday. There's no right to do that unless you can't. Korban Yochid, on the other hand, has nothing inherently about it that makes it a Tuesday Korban. So then we're only dealing with, is it kosher or not kosher? Yeah, Nesachim HaKosher, even not the day of the Korban. Bring it Wednesday, bring it Thursday. There's no reason to say not to bring it. Because there's no association. So here's the Knetch. I think we could say like this. If Korbanos Tzibur would have a Chiyuv Achrayas, then they would have the element of a Korban Yochid to them. The only reason why a Korban Sibur doesn't associate to any other day is because there's no Chiyuv Achrayus. If there would be a Chiyuv Achrayus, then the Korban Sibur wouldn't be limited to that day. Our whole question was, what do you mean Korban Sibur? If you miss a Musaf today, so what do you mean Eini Chayiv Bachar Yusei? You can't bring it. The answer is simple. The answer is, the reason why you can't bring a Korban Musaf another day is because there's no Chiyuv Achrayus. If there would be a Chiyuv Achrayus, that would connect it to today. Just like the Nesachim get connected to today. How does the Nesachim, by every Korban Sibur, the way we're learning, you bring the Korban on Monday, and then you bring the Nesachim on Thursday. Right? The Nesachim that you bring on Thursday are not a Thursday Korban, it's a Monday Korban. The Horayat is a Shiloh, maybe you'll say the Shir of Monday. Right? Because it's a Monday Korban. So how does that work? The Teretz is that it connects to Monday because of the form of Achrayus. Because there's an obligation to bring it. The Monday Korban triggered an obligation of Thursday, Friday, Shabbos to bring those Nesachim. And that, therefore, would explain why in our sugya, the Gemara says, Ein Chayiv Achrayus. Because if there would be a Chayiv Achrayus on Monday's Korban to Tuesday and Wednesday, then you'd be able to bring it on Tuesday, not as a Tuesday Korban, as a Monday Korban. The whole question is, what do you mean? Ein Chayiv Achrayus. Monday went by. That's true. But Lagabi Nesachim, Monday went by also. So how are you bringing the Nesachim of Monday on Tuesday? The Torah says, since there's a Chayiv Achrayus to bring the Nesachim on Tuesday to reflect Monday's Korban, so now it connects to Monday. So it's the other way around. The reason why a Korban Sibur is not brought after the time is not because the time elapsed. Because if there would be a Chiyuv Achrayus, the Achrayus would connect it to the time. For Horayah, by the Nesachim, according to some, you could say the Shira of Monday. You bring in Nesachim on Thursday, you're saying the Shira of Monday. How are you doing that? Because now this is an extension of Monday. So if there would be a Chiyuv Achrayus, then in fact, when you had a Chiyuv Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, that Chiyuv is still here. And it's not that you would bring on Thursday a Thursday Korban. No. On Thursday, you'll bring Rosh Chodesh Korban. And it would connect to Rosh Chodesh. And you'd say the Shira of Rosh Chodesh, maybe even. Possibly. That's how far it goes. That's what I think is the underlying current of our sugya of Nesachim. Nesachim always, by its Sibur, always goes back to the day of the Korban. It always reunites with the Korban. It's just that since there's a Chiyuv Achrayus, and that's why the Gemara had to derive, if you look at the whole drasha, the Gemara doesn't learn out that Nesachim are brought a couple days later. First, the Gemara says, you are chayiv in the achrayus of the Nechasim. Oh, once you're chayiv, now it triggered, now the obligation extends itself. So it's all tied into what the obligation is. If you'd have an extended obligation, then that would connect to the day that you brought the Korban. And I think that's really the mahalach to understand the sugya. Okay. We'll go now into Dvarim Shebiksavi Atarashe Leimrim Balpeh. The Gemara on the bottom of the daf, after the Gemara goes through the Nesachim, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, this would answer one other question. I have to just add this one knetch. The Brisker Rav, the Chetzadik Levracha, asks, according to what our Gemara tells us here, that Nesachim can be brought afterwards, why are they Doiche Shabbos? Why are they Doiche Shabbos? They shouldn't be Doiche Shabbos. Shouldn't be Doiche Shabbos. That's his kasha. We know anything you could do, not on Shabbos, isn't it? No, but I'm saying, don't put it into Kli. Adarabba, don't be Mekadosh it. The Gemara says over here that you could bring the Korban and bring the Nesachim later. So why, by any Korban Sibur, why are the Nesachim Doiche Shabbos? Bring it later, bring it Sunday. It's a great kasha. It's not Zmanei Kavua, that's the Briskov's kasha. Briskov's kasha is, it's not Zmanei Kavua. If you could bring it another day, so it's not Makiv. The Gemara says by Ktsiris Omer, if you could cut the Omer before the day of the Omer, it's not Doiche Shabbos. That's the kasha of the Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav wants to say this, to dinim in Nesachim, he gives a whole shtickle term. But according to this way of learning, it's very simple. Because just like the Shach asks on the Ramah holds that if you did Mila before the Zman, kosher. Kosher. If you did Mila before the time, you don't have to do Mila afterwards. So the Shach asks, according to the Ramah, which is really the Shita of the Rosh, why is it that Mila is Doicha Shabbos? The Gemara says in Menachos, anything you can do before Shabbos is not Doicha Shabbos. That's his kasha. What? Yeah, but that's part of his kasha. How could there be such a chiyuv if you could do it before? I understand if you didn't do it, so the Torah is telling you you could do it, but you should have an obligation. If you didn't do the bris milah, you were an oinus, the Torah is telling you you could do it, right? But if you have the ability, you have to do it before. That's his kasha. The answer I would say to the Shach's kasha is very simple. L'maisa, the mitzvah of bris milah is bishmini. The fact that if you did it before you yaitz, it just means you didn't do a mitzvah when you did it. It's just that when the eighth day comes, the eighth day mitzvah was accomplished. You don't have an obligation to do an act which is not a mitzvah, so I shouldn't have to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? Same thing by the Nesachim. Nesachim is a Shabbos obligation. It's true, if I missed Shabbos, I could bring it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it would be an extension of Shabbos. But I don't have a chiyuv to push off my Iker obligation. The way we're learning, it's a Shabbos obligation. It's just that since you're an achrayus for Shabbos, so when Shabbos goes by, you could bring it on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and it connects to Shabbos. You don't have a chiyuv. Omer is not like that. The ketzirah saimer is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the havos haimer. So the ketzirah, if you could do it before, so do it before. It's not the mitzvah itself. Okay. Of course you have to wait till Sunday. Nesachim are not doicha Shabbos. Only the Nesachim of Shabbos. Of course. Okay. Says the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, now that we came up with this distinction, that there are the Sochem that come on their own, they could be brought at night, the Sochem that don't come on their own, they should be brought by day. So the Gemara says, he wanted to send this as a letter. Ashkachte de Kosev Agarta, he said, well, they changed the gears here, if you look at the Bach. He says, I Ashkechei Ksiv, if I found it, I would write an igarta. So now that's what brought in this whole sugya of Dvarim Shebiksav. What do you mean you'd write it down? You're not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Gemara, V'loi tismi minchas nesachem, nastitun, because minchas nesachem fits, V'loi kashi, kam ben nesachem aboyim ha-mazevach, kam ben nesachem aboyim b'fneyat. The top of Yudalad Amud Beis. If you're bringing nesachem on their own, then you could bring it even at night. Says the Gemara, he would have wrote a letter. You're allowed to write a letter and send it. If you go ahead and you write halachas, you're equivalent to somebody who burns a sefer Torah. That's very strong terminology. Sarev Sefer Torah. Guy writes down a halacha, he's like a Sarev Sefer Torah. Says, V'aloi meid mehen, and somebody who learns from this, Einoi meknoitel schar. This is also a plea in the sugya. And the Gemara brings the mocker. Dorash Rav Yehuda bar Nachmeni mitur gemunei de Resh Lakish. Rav Yehuda bar Nachmeni said, from the Targum of Resh Lakish, Kosov Echarem, one pasuk says, Ksoiv lecha es advorim ha'ele. The Kosov Echarem, one pasuk says, Ki al pi advorim ha'ele, loy ma lecha, what's it coming to teach you? One pasuk says, write it. And one pasuk says, al pi, which means orally. Is it supposed to be written? Is it supposed to be oral? Says the Gemara, what he's saying is like this. Dvorim sha'al peh i'atorah she'loy mem b'ksav. The parts of Torah which are oral, you're not allowed to do written. And the ones that are the ones that are part of Torah, Torah Shebiksav, now I'll say it about Pe. Okay. First, I just have a diak on this Gemara, just a question, a simple diak. Simply, you learn Torah Shebiksav is not allowed to be said orally, and Torah Shebal Pe is not allowed to be written. Right? Why is the term Oimran said in the Gemara? Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Loi malacha, it's coming to teach you. Dvorim she'al peh, it should say, you're not allowed to write it. It says, I atarashai le'oimrom biksav. The word Omrim doesn't fit there. Right? It should say Iyatarisha Lakaisvam. Period. Doesn't say that in the Gemara for some reason. This is a diak that always bothered me why the Achrayim don't ask this question. It doesn't seem to fit. The word doesn't seem to fit. There's a Tosfos that maybe you could put it in. But definitely the reading of the Gemara is a problem. Now the other way around it makes sense. That Dvorim Shebiksav Yatarashe Loimim Balpe. That's very meduyuk. Something which is written, you're not allowed to say it outside, orally. That makes sense. But the other way around doesn't seem to make sense. Now, the fact that L'chayra, the Isser that you're doing, is when you write it. Correct? The Isser is that the Torah Shebalpeh is not supposed to be written. So when are you over this Isser? When you write it. That's our question. Why does the Gemara say Yatarashe Loimim Biksav? It should say Yatarashe L'chayisvam. That's one question. My second question is you say this, take a question. L'chayra, once it's written, it's written. The Isser was done. The Isser was to take what was supposed to be oral and to put it into written form. Right? But when you learn from the paper, right? So now you're learning. How could you say you don't get schar? You're learning. What's the difference if there's a man in front of the room giving a shiur, there's a tape recorder playing, or you're reading from a document? You're learning. But the Gemara, for some reason, says the haloimed, somebody who learns that way, says the Gemara, he doesn't get schar. Ain't a noitel schar. Takes no reward. That's a pella. Why is there no reward? I'm learning. I can understand. I did. Whoever wrote it did something wrong. Right? The main onus, by the way, the main onus here should be on the writer. The one who wrote it had no right to write it. But to learn? What's wrong with learning? Should be no problem at all to learn. For some reason, the Gemara is putting not only is the Gemara putting the onus on the person who's learning, which l'chayra, the guy who's learning is doing a good thing. I'll give you a case, a guy's stuck somewhere. He doesn't have a Rebbe, he doesn't have nothing. There's a document that somebody shouldn't have written that they did. Now I can either sit around and read a newspaper, or I have Torah to read. I shouldn't read it? I would even say l'chatchila read it. If you asked me, a guy, should he read it? Of course read it. Not only would I say he's not doing an Isser, I would say he's doing a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. Read. Avad Yishuvi. What should you do? This is what you got? Do it. One second. If I would just sit in the room and think and learning, is it terror? I'm asking you a question. If I would think and learning, is it terror? If I think Arba Ovis Nezikim, is it terror? Okay. So now I have a piece of paper that says Arba Ovis Nezikim. And I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, it's working, right? Arba Ovis Nezikim. Now there happens to be a paper here. So what? Let's say I take a Gemara that was printed on Shabbos. Okay? And I go through Gan Shas. Turns out the Gemara was written on Shabbos. I don't get schar for Talmud Torah. Why not? Why did I get schar for Talmud Torah? You can analyze it hashkafically. Should you learn from such a Gemara or not? Maybe supporting the one that's Mechal Shach, right? You could say Torah. But ain't it not a schar? But what's fascinating in our sugya is that when you read the drasha, it makes sense. The one who's doing the aver is the one who's writing it. Right? And indirectly, maybe the guy who's reading it, he shouldn't be reading it. Maybe. Whatever reason. You look at the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita Mekubetzes is mashma. Only the guy who's reading it really has the problem. L'chayra, he's an innocent bystander who's doing something positive with his time. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes about a burning, like you burnt the Sefer Torah, look at the Shita Mekubetzes Ois Gimel. Koisvei Halachos Hisorfei Torah. On the side, the Shita Mekubetzes writes, Gilyan, Koisvei Talmud Kisorfim Psukim in HaTorah, the HaTalmud Lo Nitun Likosev, Kidomar Eile Ata Koisev, V'i Koisev Odom, I Efshe B'loi Psukim, and okay, Now he says like this. So why is it like you burnt the Torah? I understand you shouldn't do it. Uman de mashkach le, and somebody who finds this document, not the author. He's not talking about the author now. The reason why we have highness to the author is because somebody who finds it, kibon shelo nitan likos ogon esayafai. Mamish like this. The guy who wrote it, l'chayr, he's the one who did he's the pashaya. He's the main bal avla. He came and he wrote something down that he wasn't allowed to write. Okay? Now there's an innocent guy standing in the back. He finds this nice piece of Torah. Oh, you know, let me look through it. So we say, oh, no reward for you. Not only that, the original guy who wrote it is like he's burning a Sefer Torah. You know why? Like he's burning Torah. You know why? Because when you find it, you have a chiyuv to burn it. What about him? He's over Sanat. He wrote it and he's l'chayim l'shal. He's a ben olam haba. We're coming to you. You found it. I did nothing wrong. There is no pasuk in the Torah that says, don't find written Torah. There's no such thing. Don't find Torah Shabbat by written. I did nothing wrong. Nothing. Again, I said, if we go into Hashkafa, we could say all kinds of thoughts here. But if we take the drasha, the way the drasha is written, the drasha is, Dvorim shebiksav are not allowed to be said orally, and Dvorim shebal peh are not allowed to be written. So, you're not allowed to write it. Don't have a chshivas. Yeah, but here we're not saying that. If we would say somebody who reads it and doesn't understand it, no problem. But we're not saying that. We're saying the guy who finds it has to burn it. And if he learns from it, he doesn't get reward, even if he doesn't understand it. I mean, today everybody's learning. Rabbi Yankiv Zatzal asks in his Pirush Novus, he says, how could it be that today there's a mitzvah to write Torah Shabbat? He says, how does that make sense? He says, it used to be it's an Isser Gomer, it's like you're burning the Sefer Torah, and today there's a mitzvah to write, to the point that the Maharshal says that the only Torah that's Miskayim is Torah that you write down. Today there's a mitzvah to write. How could it be such a contradiction? The Gemara here, Shvitz, is how we're allowed to write Torah. But the Yevedei favorite, the Gemara says, let's see the conclusion of Gemara. The Gemara says, Amri Dilma Mil Sechadat Hashanah. If you hear something new, maybe that you're allowed to write down. That's also a tremendous chiddush. What do you mean? We paskin lo darshin in time of the krah. We don't darshin time of the krah. That's, oh, it's something new. Now I'm afraid I'll forget it. Okay, this I'll write down. Who gives you the right to do that? You don't have a right to make your own svaras. Hey, you know what? I'll make my own svara. It makes sense. If it's something new, I should be able to write it down. Why? The Gemara says, ki ha, Rabbi Yechon v'Rish Lakish, Ma'ayni b'sifra agata b'shabbos. They would look into things that were written on Shabbos. These were things that weren't chidushim, medrashim, that weren't known. It wasn't part of what was given over, and it wasn't known. So they used to look and read it. V'darshi yachi, they would say, Eis l'ashem, eferu terasch. It's kedai. Eis l'ashem, l'ashem. We're going to even destroy, we'll destroy the Torah in order to maintain the Torah. Mutuf te'eko Torah v'al tishtakach Torah mi'Yisrael. So Rabbi Yaakov's question on this sugya was, how could it be now there's a mitzvah to write? Not only is there a mitzvah to write, we don't sit and analyze, you know, like you would if you're doing an Avera, okay, I'll write as much as I need. Right? You take a lady to the hospital on Shabbos, you leave the door open, you don't close the door because the light's going to go off, right? So even though you went and drove to the hospital, which, by the way, one of the hardest things to explain. I remember I once had to take my wife on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, to the hospital, and I left the door open. And the guard, the security guard, was an intelligent fellow. He wanted to know afterwards, he wanted to get a background in halacha. See, the hardest thing that he had was, so again, so you went into the car, you started, you drove here, everything is fine because you're taking your wife to the hospital, and then you can't close the door? It's not good to cash. Only somebody who's shakua in halacha could understand that makes any sense. You got into your car, you started, you went out of, you pushed your garage door open, and everything's fine. Now you get to the hospital, one thing you're not going to do, close the door. But that's how we're medayik when you're doing an avera. So what the Gemara here seems to be saying, there's an absolute issur to write Torah, and if you do it, it's like you're destroying the Torah. But in order that it shouldn't be forgotten, they allowed us to be over the issur. So Bianca says, so make a notation. Today people just write like it's... So sometimes you wish it would be a little shorter, right? Write. And just, what are you doing? Look at art school. You got to turn 6 pages to get 1 blot, right? We're not careful now how we write. We just write. So Rabbi Yankov said to the point that we look at writing as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to write. Okay. Right. So let's just go. The simple explanation would be that the one who wrote it has to burn it. The one who wrote it has to burn it. That would be simple. Which is how Rashi brings down. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Kisorif HaTorah, first he gives one pshat, Shein Matzilu Noise B'Shabbos B'Fnei Adleika. Shabbos, you're only allowed to save Tanakh, but the Torah Shabbat Peh, you're not allowed to save it from a fire. So indirectly, you're causing it to be burnt, because should there be a fire outbreak on Shabbos, you won't be allowed to save it. But then Rashi says, Lishnach Rini, you can't. So basically, the author, when you wrote it, you got to burn it. But the shita, for some reason, the shita misdirected that to the moitzei, and that's really clearly stating that the guy himself doesn't have to burn it, because otherwise, the direct way would be Rashi. Because it's much more like your seir of Torah if you yourself have to burn it than if you're going to cause somebody who finds it to have to burn it. Maybe just say you have to burn it. So that's a problem. Another issue is, what happened to this whole issur? Right? What happened to this issur today? It's like almost like gone with the wind. There's no shaychus to it. The second question is, we had, why does it say oimram if the issur is koisvam? Our third kash is, why is the shita, and there's some other rishanim also, which we'll see, who seem to put the onus on the one who finds it more than on the one who writes it? L'chayr, the one who writes it is the main culprit. Now, another shaila there is that the other way around, and that there really is no heter today. Dvarim shebiksav iyatarashe lo'imram balpeh, there is no heter today. The eis lasas l'Hashem was the other way around. Hatz eis lasas l'Hashem, they permitted Torah shebalpeh to be written, right? They didn't permit Torah shebiksav to be said orally, hatz eis lasas l'Hashem. That there is no heter. And that also became very weakened today. Throughout Eidurus, it became very weakened. First of all, people daven, they say psukim all the time that are not biksav. They say papa all the time. Well, there's shogar b'fi koil. Also some kind of kula. Well, if everybody knows the words, it's okay. So Tosfos here, dvorim shebiksav, yatarashay lo'imram b'alpeh, the top Tosfos. He says, v'im toimar, he says, how do we say mizmorim balpeh? V'yei shloimah, de'ein lahakbid rak ma shekosev b'chumish. Only chumish, maybe. That's what we're makbid on. Then he says, omnam kosher. He says, we read things that are written in the chumish. We read a krishma. And we read by vayosha, we read as yosha. Right, together with Vayosha Hashem. Yes, Yisroel Miad Mitzrayim. Then he says, another gather. V'yesh lo'imar de'ein lahakbid, elo bedovar shemoitzi acherim yedei chovos. Very strange. Who's talking about moitzi anybody? Clearly, it's one pasuk that's talking about Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. By Torah Shebal Peh, you're not being moitzi anybody. There's no chiyuv to say Torah Shebal Peh in writing. What are you being moitzi somebody? Where did Tosfos get this whole idea? It's only where you're being moitzi somebody. And again, the other problem we had was the whole concept in our sugi that somebody who learns this doesn't get reward. He's learning. When I say he's learning. So I want to tell you a fascinating idea, which I really was medayik from something that the Chofetz Chaim said, Derech Agoda, but really it has halachic ramifications. And this is why I asked the Olam to look up this the Ritva and the Rashi in Shabbos. Also, there's a Rashi in Gittin, similar Rashi. There's a Rashi in Bava Metzia, similar Rashi. The Chofetz Chaim is oimen on the nusach that we say when we make a siyum. When we make a siyum, we say onu amelim u'mekablim socher v'hem amelim v'eno mekablim socher. So the Chofetz Chaim said, what does this mean, onu amelim u'mekablim socher? And why is it only said by a siyum masechta? It's not said about other things. So the Chofetz Chaim said that there's something very unique about learning. Very often one is not successful. You try to understand something and it just doesn't go in. Can't get it. Can't get the pshat. Happens to the greatest of men. The Rebbe Kivega sometimes says, Hashem Yoreinai, I don't know. Hashem Yoreinai, right? So if that's, there were Rishonim who write sometimes, Misupkani, that means they worked so hard on it. Atshi Yovei Goyel said, like, I don't know Pshat in the Sugi till Mashiach will come. That's how hard they worked on the Sugi. The Iranian uses that Lashon in Makis. A Misupkani boy Atshi Yovei Goyel said, like, I don't know till Mashiach will come, I don't know Pshat in the Sugi. Right? So, if that's the case, if that's the idea, so the Chofetz Chaim says, so what kind of reward do you get? You obviously get reward. You sat down, you spent 3 hours to try to understand the Sugi. You didn't understand the Sugi. What reward do you get? So the Chofetz Chaim says a fascinating idea, and I'm going to try to give you a beer in the Chofetz Chaim, and it really will, I think, enlighten our sugya. The Chofetz Chaim says that by most mitzvahs in the Torah, we find that if a person wants to do a mitzvah and he can't do a mitzvah, Hashem gives him reward. So, but the bottom line is, you won't get the actual reward of doing the mitzvah. In other words, either you did the mitzvah or you didn't do the mitzvah. You're not going to get reward if somebody, let's say, tried to eat matzah, but he didn't eat it. He's not going to get achilas matzah. He didn't eat matzah. So he'll get reward for trying to eat matzah. It could be if he tried so hard to eat matzah, he may get more reward than the guy who ate it easily. Who knows in Shemayim what's going on. But the fact is, eating matzah is eating matzah. Either you ate it or you didn't eat it. Right? A guy tried to get an esrog. He didn't get one. He doesn't have it. Hashem will give him reward for trying to get it. He says, Torah is not like that. If somebody is engaged in trying to understand learning, even if they never get the point, they never get it, Makablam Socher of Talmud Torah. They get the reward of learning. Hashem gives them that reward. And that's why when a person finishes a Masechta, says the Chofetz Chaim, maybe you understood every sugya, maybe you didn't understand every sugya, but Anu Amelim U'Makablam Socher. You're going to get schar for every daf in this masechta that you try to understand. Even those sugis that you didn't get to understand, you still get reward for trying to understand it. That's the Chofetz Chaim's gedder. My question on the Chofetz Chaim is, but why is it that way? I understand you're telling me it's a fact. By most mitzvahs, you try to do a mitzvah, you didn't get it, so you didn't get it, you didn't do the mitzvah. Talmud Torah is not like that. You try to do the mitzvah, we consider it as though you actually did the mitzvah. Right? It's mamish like learning. Why is that? So I want to tell you, it's not magic. It's not that, oh, Torah has a segula that if you just try, it's good enough. No, that's not the explanation. I want to tell you like this. What would be a different scenario? A guy opens up a Gemara. He's learning for 3 hours of sugya. He spends 90% of those 3 hours toying with different pshat, and maybe it could be pshat in the sugya. Maybe this is the pshat in the sugya. Then he's one second. Rashi, it can't be. Then he comes with another idea. He outrules that as well. Then he, at the end of the day, after the 3 hours, he finally chaps the emes of pshat. What he thinks is the emes. Okay? He says, I got it. I want to ask you a question. What schar Talmud Torah does he get? Does he get schar of 3 hours of learning? Or do we say, one second, The first svara, second svara, third svara, fourth svara was in the garbage. You yourself saw it was nothing. It was narishkeit. So it's garbage. So now you get svara for the last 10 minutes. What would be the case? So avadi, you'd say, it's got to be, you get reward for the whole 3 hours. Right? So I want to tell you, it's not just like the Chavetz Chaim, it's a skula. It's not that. The word Talmud Torah is learning. Learning means learning. Learning doesn't mean knowing. The mitzvah, there's another mitzvah called Vishinantam. Vishinantam is you should know Torah. You should be familiar in Torah. That mitzvah you're not Mekayim. Even the Chavetz Chaim can't say you're Mekayim that mitzvah till you know it. But Talmud Torah is learning. Learning experience is building and knocking into this and knocking your head, and it's the right pshat, it's the wrong pshat. That's all learning. Learning is developing knowledge. So the development, that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore, you as much were Mekayim the mitzvah of Al-Gisabai, of learning. 9 o'clock, when you had the Kruma pshat, as you were 1 o'clock when you had the Emes pshat. Yes, at 1 o'clock when you got the Emes pshat, you got another mitzvah, Vishinanda. Clarity, knowledge, that's another mitzvah, Vishinanda. But Talmud is the same, the whole morning that you were working on the sugya, it's all Talmud Torah. That to me is a Dover Pashat. It's a Dover Pashat. And that's Shad Onu Amelim U'Makablam Schar. That's the mitzvah. Shesamta Chalkeinu Miyoshvi Beis Medrash. We're sitting in the, we're learning. And that is the reward of development.
Even if you never get it.
Vishinantam you'll never accomplish. Because Vishinantam means you have to be sharp. The words of Torah have to be sharp. That you, whenever you get it, you get it. But the Talmud, that's Vogisaboy. Toiling and learning. That is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In a sense, there's no such thing as saying, I tried to learn and I didn't learn. That's learning. That would be a chvase if you're sitting in a base medrash and you're sleeping. Then you don't get tzar for Talmud Torah. But I tried to stay awake. But you didn't. That's not Talmud Torah. Oh no, I'm melim. But when you're learning, you're learning. And that's what learning is. Learning is developing. Oh. But now let's go the other way around. What would be if somebody is learning not to learn? The opposite mode. Person's not even trying to develop the truth. Stop trying to develop the truth. There's a guy next to him who set up as a shtickel terror. His whole tachlis now is to disprove that guy. He's not even interested in developing the truth. So he's not even engaged in learning. He's not even learning then. Because learning means you're developing truth. You're working on developing the truth. Maybe you'll spend your whole life on it, so you'll be mekayim the mitzvah your whole life. It's like Pirya V'Rivya. We brought down from a Tzvi Pesach Frank. Somebody who has children at a young age was mekayim the mitzvah of Pirya V'Rivya in 1 year. Yeah, a guy gets married, and a year later he has twins, a boy and a girl. Mekayim Pirya V'Rivya. Say, oh, the guy's so lucky. Mekayim the mitzvah. In 1 year, it's done, he did the mitzvah. The guy's lucky, right? But the Tzvi Pesach Frank says, no. The guy that took 10 years, see, he was mekayim the mitzvah for 10 years. Guy didn't have children for 10 years. After 10 years, he had a boy and a girl. So now all the whole period of Rivi is not having the children. That's piyat shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, no, boy, girl, this is not up to you. If you're going to have kids, not up to you. What type of gender they're going to be, it's nothing to do with you. Your mitzvah is to oisik in period of Rivi. He says, so if somebody didn't have children for 10 years, he was mekayim period of Rivi for 10 years, as long as he was trying. And if a guy says, forget it, I'm not interested. Oh, it's not mekayim. But God's right. If a guy never had children, he's mekayim the mitzvah his entire life. So he was mekayim more Pirya V'Rivya. It's like Talmud Torah. The mitzvah is the hisaskus. He says, adarabe, when a boy and a girl are born, see, the mitzvah's over. The mitzvah's ended. That's the way he understands it. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. But I'll kupon him. That's just by Talmud Torah. But if a guy would learn not to develop truth, so in a sense, it's a meridika kula. The way we're learning, it's a meridika kula. Because as long as you're working on developing truth, that's Talmud Torah. On the other hand, it's a tremendous chumrah. Because if you're not working to develop truth, then you're not learning. For guys, you're sitting, I want to just try to prove this guy wrong. I don't even care if it's the emes. Now we understand why it says, haloi min al manas lekanter noyach loy shaloi nivra. Somebody learns Torah not for the purpose of learning, not the purpose of gaining understanding, but for the purpose of knocking the other guy out. Noichloi shaloi nivra. Why? Because he's not learning b'chalal. That's not learning. That's not a ma'aseh of Talmud Torah. The whole Gemara says that if you learn shaloi lishma, eventually you'll make it lishma. That's because you're learning. You're trying to develop truth. You're learning hamas b'kai. It's not learning. So it's not going to bring you anywhere. Now you come to our sugya. Everything is clear. What's the reason why Torah shebiksav, you're not allowed to say orally, and Torah shebal peh, you're not allowed to have written? There's only one reason. It connects to what learning is. The Ritva comes in Meseches Gittin, and he says, Pirush Rabbeinu, Mishu kriyosam al peh iko hefzit. Because when you read Torah shebal peh, Torah shebiksav, bal peh, you lose out. Because part of the drushes that they used to darshan were from the letters. The shape of the letters, the tagim, and the extra letter. So that all, you gotta see it. You can't just hear the word. The leko lemidrash, chaseris, the yaseris. A word could be mole, it could be chaser. If the word is not written, you don't see it. And therefore, the kamat siyunim, anidroshim, va'amukim, va'akumim, utzfufim, how the word is shaped. So it comes out, according to the Ritva, the reason why you can't learn Torah shebiksav bal peh is because something's going to be lacking in your learning. You're not developing what you could develop. You're not developing it because part of what you're trying to develop can only be fully accomplished biksav. Udvorim shebal peh, iya Torah shaloimun biksav. Mishum dikshe'enam ksuvim. When they're not written, everybody has to have a Rebbe. Everybody has to somebody who's teaching to them and they listen to it carefully. Then it's given over clearly from one to the other. The person loses the benefit of the understanding of those words that could have been better understood from the one who said it. I want to tell you that this Ritva in his 3-4 lines has answered all the questions. The Ritva is telling us that this idea of Dvarim Shebiksav, you're not allowed to write Bal Peh, and Bal Peh, you're not allowed to write Biksav, is not because there's some kind of Gezer Sekosav. That's not why. It's because part of learning is to develop the truth of what is trying to be conveyed. And Torah Shebiksav, the best way to develop it is from seeing the words. And Torah Shebal Peh, the best way to develop it is from hearing it. And therefore, you're compromising your understanding of the learning by doing that. If that's the case, and you do it anyway, that means that you're not even attempting to get the full truth. Right? Not only are you not going to get the full truth, your form that you have chosen to learn is one which you know from the get-go is not the way to get the understanding here. Memela, v'haloi meid mehem, eino noitel scha, because this is not the form of development of understanding Torah. The whole idea, the way we explain Torah, means you're trying to develop the truth. If the way you're learning, you're compromising the truth, that's not learning. Now, if you reach a level where even the ones that are giving the Torah will say that they can't give the Torah over without being written because they're going to forget it, then writing it is part of developing truth. So now the same issue that there was to write it is what makes it a mitzvah that it should be written. It answers Rabbi Yankov's question. Because the reason why it's not supposed to be written is because you're compromising the truth. But if the way to develop the truth is to write it, then that's the mitzvah. Adagadah. The mitzvah is to write it. Because that's going to develop the emes. That's the pshat. Why, now it's a mitzvah to write. And therefore, a guy for himself to write Torah, after he's already learnt it bal peh, is a maila for himself. Because he's not learning mitoch ksav. The ksav is just being used as a support system to maintain what he already learnt bal peh. That was never a compromise. The whole compromise of Biksav, even when it was engaged, was that that's not the best way to develop the truth. But if you taka had a Rebbe and you learned something, and now you wanted to write it down so that it will further support that which you learned, there's no problem. So therefore, hakoisvan, the one who writes it, really, it's okay. The problem is that for him it's okay. But somebody who finds it, who did not learn that, now this would be a form of them learning it, they would taka have to burn it. The guy who found it, the guy who wrote it, he learned Talpa and then he wrote it, no problem. And that's why the Gemara says here, Dvorim Shebiksav, Iyata Rashai La'oimram. It's only when you're teaching somebody else who has not yet learned it. Since he has not yet learned it, now he's going to use the written way of transmitting Torah. Now the understanding is going to be compromised. Once the understanding is going to be compromised, that's the chesaron. And that explains this whole concept from beginning to end. And therefore, really, when you're davening, you're completely isolated from this whole idea. Because when you're davening, you're not even learning at all. You're davening. That's why you're allowed to daven according to many Rishonim without saying Birchas HaTorah. Many Rishonim hold you could say Psukei Dezimra without Birchas HaTorah. Because you're not learning, you're davening. Right? But if you're being moitzi somebody else, then you're giving over the words to somebody else who could use those words. It's up to them. They now could use those words that you gave them both as davening and learning. So now already you have to be concerned. You don't give over the words of Torah to somebody else, even if you're doing it. The fact that you're doing it derech tefillah, that helps you. But you're not in control of how the other person is going to use it. Just like when you write down the Torah and you lose it. You have a problem because the other guy may use it to learn. So when you give over Torah to somebody else, then even if you're doing it derech limut, you're doing it to learn. You're doing it to daven. But the other guy is taking those words now. Now you're giving those words of Torah, which are open to be used in any way, that you have to do taka dafka miksav. Okay. Huh? Why do the same thing? Because that's to maintain it. The Rashi says it beferash. Milsechadeta. Chadosha shelo yoyedim l'taretz habraises. L'chadish dobek ha'goyin shechadosha hi. And therefore they were afraid it wasn't clicking well enough, and it wasn't available to go get from elsewhere, so they did their best. Rabbi Yisai, Mitzvah Shem, for next week, there's a little bit of an Agadah Gemara here, which I'll let the Elam do on their own. We're going to be doing the sugya already on Tezvav, Amar Aleph, Chatos HaYochid, Shekipru Baaleho, and we'll be going at least to the bottom of the Amud, where it says, Ikalamand Amachata Shekibu Baaleho Meso.